you know, we're not wealthy going as performers, so we knew we couldn't afford to make any huge mistakes. We had one shot.
You know, the team here really wants people to take the time to enjoy life, which is really what, you know, wine is about to start with.
That's a lot of love, a lot of care. Somebody planted that vineyard in the right spot, took care of those grapes the right way, and nurtured that wine through the cellar and did everything right, and there it is for you.
I don't begrudge anyone that wants to be here and be a part of it, but growth needs to be managed and things need to balance.
We say, so drink the wine. That's kind of our motto here at Life Between the Vines. One of the cool things about wine, besides drinking it, is the people you drink it with. And the stories you hear and tell with wine all come together to make every bottle unique. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
And welcome to podcast number 332. This week we feature Alice Warnicki Sutro of Sutro Wine Company in the Alexander Valley.
This podcast is sponsored by Release Winery. Every wine tells a story. Each growing season, it's our goal to create an artisan Napa Valley wine of exceptional quality. Join us as the story of this ultra-limited wine continues. Learn more at releasewinery.com.
When visiting wine country, one of the very best things you can do is walk wine-growing property and experience the vineyards in person. If you visit Warnicki Ranch, that's exactly what you can do with Sutro Wine Company owner Alice Warnicki Sutro. Alice's family roots are in Sonoma, and her love of the land and growing grapes comes through in this interview. We met with Alice at the property and enjoyed a friendly chat all about what it takes to become a winemaker. You can also hear Alice on our Vino Lingo segment, giving us her definition of the term volcanics. I'm here with Alice Warnicki Sutro, and Alice is the owner of Sutro Wine Company, and we're here in Healdsburg. How are you doing, Alice?
I'm doing great. Hi, Ray.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, we're in your guest house, which is incredibly cool and rustic. It's 100 years old, and it's really amazing to be in here because you feel like you're in history.
Definitely. We don't like to call it a guest house. That makes it sound fancy. It's more like the family cabin.
Hangout?
Yeah, exactly. The Windsor House.
Yeah. The Windsor House, yeah. Yes.
The Windsor from the very small town nearby.
Yeah, not the other Windsor.
No,
absolutely. So welcome to Life Between the Vines. Thank you for being here with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about the ranch. When I picked you up and we drove over here, you were talking about the size of the property, which was huge. Tell me about that.
Right. So I live at Warnicki Ranch and Vineyards. This is my family property. It's 260 acres, and it's planted with an 80-acre vineyard. And it's been in the family since 1911, so I'm fifth generation on this land, sixth generation Sonoma County. And the vineyards went in the 70s when grapes became the best financial way to work your land. So prior to that, it was a bit of a walnut orchard that way. There was a dairy farm at one point. My family had sheep, and prunes were the main agricultural thing here.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, things changed, but 1970 was still, you know, before the tasting of Paris and before things really opened up out here.
Yeah. That's right. Well, my grandfather planted the vineyard in 73. Specifically, he wanted to have a property that was self-sustaining, and, you know, sheep had come and gone, and so he planted grapes.
Yeah, and neither did anybody know where this was going to end up going, right?
There was maybe an inkling, but no. Yeah. I mean, it's, my family's business is grape growing. So that's Warnicki Ranch and Vineyards. Always just farmers. And that's how I started. I started working for my aunt and learned in the field. So primarily I identify with really the ag side, viticulture side.
Yeah.
During the course of working for my family, I realized that I wanted to have a bit of independence, and that's why I started my own wine company. And also just looking way ahead in terms of succession planning to think about what's the value add product to a vineyard is wine. And, you know, grapes are worth 10 or more times, you know, their value in the bottle than they are on a vine. So that is, like you said, you know, no one knew where this was going, but wine is a great product. Yeah, it's really fun to make, really fun to communicate with people. over wine.
Sure. And in the end, you got here. That's the big thing.
I got here. I'm lucky to be here. I'm really lucky to be part of this family. But I, I'm just think a lot about how to stay here forever. Yeah. And so, starting a small wine company and working hard at that is part of that plan.
Well, when you say, be here forever, it is a forever place. You come here and the beauty, just like so many places in wine country, but we're way away from things here. So it's really stunning.
Yeah, we're at the very southern tip of Alexander Valley. So it's more rolling hills, the Mayakama foothills, and get really tight right here against the Russian River. So we're also, my family property is a mile frontage on the Russian River. So it's, steep river corridor right into foothills. And south of us is not planted a lot because it's some different type of soil that's really high in magnesium. So it's not, it's very threatening to vines.
Yeah, right.
And so, but on my land actually is the boundary line, on my family's land, the boundary line between Alexander Valley and Chalk Hill AVA. So south of us is more just a slightly cooler climate, Russian River Valley. But yeah, my family's vineyards is right at this intersection of those different interesting, ecologies, ecosystems.
Sure. Sounds like we have a helicopter coming over.
Yeah, we're near at the Sonoma County Airport, too.
We're very near the Sonoma County Airport.
Yeah, it's Alaska Airlines.
Oh, that's an airplane. That's not a helicopter.
I think so.
Yeah. So where did you grow up?
I grew up, I was born in San Francisco. So my family's been in San Francisco pre-Gold Rush.
Wow.
And so having been born there is very important. And early in my childhood, my parents split up, and so I was with my mom, and we moved to Boonville, and with my stepdad. I have two brothers, so we had an idyllic life there, an apple orchard, and made organic apple juice, and had a horse stable. My mom was a trainer, so that was until I was like 10 years old, and then too much detail to go into, but we basically, my family decided to be expats. We moved to France, so I spent the next 8 years in Haute-Savoie in the French Alps.
Nice.
Yeah. The closest, most interesting wine is the Beaujolais Nouveau release in the Lyon area.
Sure.
Yeah.
So when did you leave there? How old were you?
When I turned 18 to go to college, my family has many Stanford alum. And so I applied and got in and went, came back to California to go to Stanford.
And didn't want to go back to France, or just as a matter of work?
After I graduated, I really just wanted to be where I was from. I mean, I grew up in France, but no, I just wanted to be in California.
Yeah.
It's a really strong tie to have been here for so long and love the land. And at least for me personally, both my brothers still live in Europe, but I really felt the calling. And it's the same reason why I came back to this family property as soon as I was done with my degree, to live here and get involved in the family business and make sure we could be family owned and operated for more, generations.
Sure. Just like that you said you felt the call, because isn't that what it is? You get bit by the bug or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and I didn't know before then. Yeah, I really didn't know. And I also didn't know I would make wine until I was here for a couple of years and witnessed the wine industry and grape growing, and it's amazing people, and being a grower, you get to meet the field workers and the truckers and like your pest control advisors and just a whole range of interesting folks. And then you add wine and you get to meet the people who make your labels and help you with deliveries and marketing. Sutro Wine Company is very small. It's 650 cases. So I run it in its entirety.
You are it, pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I am. I have a part-time employee. She's wonderful. And she just had a baby, but so I'm back kind of on my own. My husband oversees the winemaking, but the wine is produced. We lease space at Medlock Ames Winery. So get to rely on them for kind of deep enology information. But Elliot really is the palate. He has a great palate.
Do you get involved in any way? Does he come to you and say, this is my blend I'm thinking about, or does he ever invite you in on blending?
Yeah, we do work on blends a bit together. My real input is the vineyard side. So I took a couple years off to have kids, but I do still work for my family and managing assistant vineyard manager. So keeping an eye on our blocks and our rows. Mm. It's just 10 tons, but it's important. And then I call the picks. In conjunction with my aunt, and there's other wineries who pick from the same block. But really, I'm sampling and analyzing the maturity of the grapes and sending off for lab reports.
Sure.
So I really feel like calling the pick is in a huge part of making good wine. And so that's my contribution to winemaking.
Well, you know, you sound like you're really kind of part enologist as well. I mean, I don't know if you've gone that far in terms of education, but I mean, that's really what you're doing, isn't it?
I call myself a wine producer because I like the more global view. And I know just enough to be able to talk to consumers and really have an idea about a direction of what I want the wine to taste like.
Sure.
And how to get there. But I want to get a degree. I am actually on the wait list for Washington State Online Enology and Viticulture Program.
Very good.
Yeah, and that'll maybe in a year. They have a really long wait list. It's a very popular program.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's because you have to do a couple of site visits. So it's not just like it's online. They can take 6,000 students. It actually is.
You know. Site visit, when you say that, you mean up there?
Yeah, it's, you have to go to up north and visit vineyards. And
sure.
But this fall, I'm going to probably do a little bit of a cellar rat work over at the Medlock Ames Winery, where
really?
Our production happens. Yep, I just I need to know that part of it.
Sure, get your hands purple.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, totally.
Well, it's a great idea, especially when you're selling it. You know, you really do need to know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just there's a lot of direction you can take, and I want to have more awareness. But for the time being, we really like the style that we're on right now. With we make Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and Sauvignon Blanc. And all of them, the focus is to have high acidity, mostly very mouth-watering, smooth, elegant tannins, and fruit-forward and a light hand. I mean, the Sauvignon Blanc, we don't oak at all, but the Merlot, barely any, and the Cab is just 20% new oak. So it's definitely more about terroir and what the land... I mean, the whole idea behind Sutro Wine Company is what's the potential of Wernicke Ranch and Vineyard. My family sells fruit to Decoy, Coppola, Simi, Flowers, Herzog, Draxton, Russian River, you know, a number of great wineries.
Pretty well-known places.
Yeah, making blends, though. And so, you know, you can't taste that hillside without, you know, focus having it being a single vineyard designate.
Yeah, yeah. So what you're making is vineyard designate, then?
Yes.
The wines we see behind you.
Yes, single vineyard designate. Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and Sauvignon Blanc.
Very cool.
Yeah,
nice.
And the bulk of the production is in Cab, a flagship varietal for Alexander Valley.
Yeah, I want to go on a minute about that because, you know, a lot of people don't realize Sonoma produces, you know, Napa's, you know, Cab is king. There's some damn fine Cab coming from Sonoma in general.
Yeah, and I'm part of our Grape Growers Association here in Alexander Valley, and there's a lot of good work being done to help brand the valley forward, get behind the great wine that Cab that's made here. We would do Silver Oak is here, Jordan, and Murphy Good and Alexander Valley Vineyards, and you know, really great brands.
Yeah, I think it's something people need to know more of because the prices are a little bit more reasonable here, obviously, and the wine is just fantastic.
Yeah, I just want to lift the reputation of the valley in general, and then everyone floats a bit too.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So what was your first vintage?
2012.
Okay.
Just Cab.
Okay.
And we added Merlot and Sauv Blanc later, and we got really exciting, a double gold from San Francisco Chronicle Wine Competition with our first vintage. That was motivating.
Yeah, not a bad thing to start off
yeah,
with.
Yeah, to keep going.
So this was between you and your husband. Was he the winemaker still in the beginning, or did you have somebody else?
In the very beginning, we did have a consulting winemaker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and really someone, though, that was mostly via phone. And,
okay.
So it was really Elliot's palate, you know, and supervising and pulling the samples and being there for press cuts and, you know, attentive to the fermentation temperature curves and, yeah, the barrel program.
Sure. You need to make a new wine and call it Elliot's Palette. You just need one right there.
It's a good
Tommy, I'm not
alliteration.
Wrong.
You like
is.
That?
It's, you know, it's just kind of like, wow, I could see that on a label.
Elliot's
right
Palette, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted you. I don't know where.
I think that was it. I don't know. Yeah, so our first vintage was 2012. We started with 300 cases. We'd been advised that that was kind of the break-even sort of number to go commercial with. I mean, before 2012, for a number of years, we'd handpicked and done some wine in the garage to feel confident.
Yeah, before, well, kind of get yourself together.
Yeah, before moving forward. Yeah.
Well, you know, it was funny. You asked me when I first met you here, when I came down, you said, you know, we're pretty small. And,
yeah.
And the point I made, I mentioned to you, the smallest I've met was 100 cases. Yeah. And small is what a lot of our listeners want.
Okay.
Because it's that focus. It's, of course, the single vineyard. And, you know, for you to know that, I think is important. Because small is not... it's not a big deal, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
It's nice to hear. It's just it's a struggle, you know, but and it's a passion project, so it's nice to hear that.
Sure. Are you distributed at all?
In a small way in Southern California. A really nice distributor, Atrium. He's a broker. I just went down to San Diego for my first ride-alongs, so I spent 2 days working the market with him. Cool. A couple of weeks ago. And then I do personally the distribution in the Bay Area. Yeah, so every other week I go down to pour for new places, deliver wines. Yeah, and then in New York, someone buys some wine.
Do you have a wine club?
We do. We have 150 wine club members.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah, and I recruit them usually one by one.
So one of the cool things you really like to do is take people on tour of the property. So tell me about that.
Yeah, that's... What I developed that with my family that would work and be comfortable because we're multiple owners here at Warnicke Ranch and Vineyard, that it's based on agritourism idea that you can have visitors on site if you're an ag. And so when I want to talk to my consumers and like share my wines, it's not a tasting room scenario. It's you come to my house and we walk the vineyards. It's about 35 minutes and I talk about whatever is current in the growing season, what's happening. And we check out some views, and then caravan up Alexander Valley about 10 minutes to Jimtown store, and I pour my wines there.
Cool. That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to 17 for a moment, and, you know, where were you there? How did you fare during the fires?
We did not burn on our property. We had no burns on our property.
Good.
The Tubbs fire came progressively north and was about 3 miles from us, and then we were in between the Geyserville pocket fire north of us. So Alexander Valley was evacuated. And I after about a day, I evacuated anyway with my kids because it was so smoky and we were stuck inside. I went up to the top of Dry Creek where my friend kept reporting to me that she had blue skies just from the direction of the wind. And so I took my kids up there and we had a nice time actually. And I mean, it's stressful, but the kids didn't know what was going on. So she had a trampoline and yeah.
That's a good thing because, I mean, as a parent myself, the idea of having kids in that scenario, I don't care how close it is to you, you're still on edge.
Yeah.
Let alone breathing.
And it's, you can't move so fast and, you know, you just want to get safe and secure and then, you know, hope the best. And my aunt stayed here, my dad stayed here. So I got reports from them and they both worked, my aunt worked really hard to make sure our property was protected to the extent possible. We turned on all our overhead sprinklers and got the vineyards really wet. And we have architectural archives here. So we loaded everything onto a flat. She loaded everything onto a flatbed truck and parked it in the middle of our harvest forum, just cool. A big gravel pad.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the most we could do.
Yeah, I'll bet. So I don't know how often you get a chance to talk with media or how often you get interviewed. But I'm going to ask you a question, and then you can think about it for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Kind of my new big question, and that is, what is the question that you don't get asked that you would like to be asked?
Can I buy 200 cases from you?
That was a good answer.
Right now?
Wow, you wasted no time on that one, did you? Well, yeah. Okay, that's fair.
I spend 35 minutes with every person that visits. I get asked a lot of questions. I answer a lot of questions, and I love it.
The 200 cases was actually a damn good answer.
Yeah.
I mean, truly.
It's true.
It's an honest answer.
I mean, I get, like, I hike with these people for 35 minutes, these people, so that we talk about a lot of stuff all the time.
Well, and for me, that's also making that point that the winemakers sell their wine one bottle at a time. No matter what people think about that, it's a labor of love for sure, but it's something you have to do.
And when you think of cases in terms of bottles, and it's like 3,600, you know, and it's one bottle, it's slow.
Sure. What do you think about the future? Do you have a goal of how many cases you like to get to, or you want to stay at 650? What is your thinking about
that? I think that if I was all DTC, 650 would be great, but I don't know if I'll get there, and wholesale is important, so maybe it might end up being 1,500 or 2,000 with, you know, 50% wholesale. But 80-acre vineyard, if it was all going to one winery, it would be like a 9,000-case winery, and I'm not interested in that. I think it's important as a family business in terms of grape growing to have diverse buyers.
Sure.
And myself, Sutro Wine Company, being one of those buyers, I'm contracted with my family for 10 tons of fruit every year. But I do want to be here forever, so... just thinking in the future of a balance between grape growing and having a separate wine company and how they can work together. And
but you wear a couple of hats too in the process. I mean, it's not just the wine company. As you said, you're the assistant vineyard manager, that kind of thing. You know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on here, regardless of how small you are.
Yeah, I would just say I would do anything just to keep it in the family and respect the other family members that have visions for this place too. And we operate an artist residency also.
That's nice.
At Wernicke Ranch and Vineyard, it's called Chalk Hill Artist Residency. So that's something I helped my family start in 2010 when I moved here, and my aunt runs it now. But that's sort of another vision the family had, was to share the property with artists. And we also work with nonprofit agencies and Land Paths visits here, and we host fundraisers for like KRCB and local radio.
Nice. That's very cool what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. It's a good, I've learned that from my family, just to, to be really open.
Yeah.
Yeah. And inviting, and anything, up until like making it a public park, right?
It's just you don't want to do that necessarily. You don't want people trampling through the grapevines, although I'm sure you probably get a few from time to time.
Yeah. We usually, leave our gate open.
Good if that works.
Yeah.
Some people are very concerned about scores, and what a lot of consumers don't understand is that it's important to the winery because it puts them on the map. So where do you stand on that?
Yeah, I it's important to me, and it might come from not having a background in winemaking. To it's great validation, and that we've gotten since the beginning always like over 90, and recently got 93 for our Sauvignon Blanc from Wine Enthusiasts.
Nice.
Thank you. Yeah. So that's really important to me. I also realize that wine writers have such great palates and experience in drinking wine, longer than I've been drinking wine for a lot of the people that I submit to. It's so neat to read what they write and hear back from them. And recently I submitted to Steve Heimoff, and he wrote A Wine Journey Along the Russian River. Second book he wrote is Interviews with California Winemakers. And he doesn't review for any magazines anymore, but he does have a blog. So I submitted to him, and he gave us, 94, 93, 94 on all three wines.
Very nice.
And so that was meaningful because I actually love his type of wine journalism and his books, and that I know that he knows this area really well, so that he, in getting that feedback from that type of wine writer, that was meant a lot to me.
Cool. Very nice. Putting it as simply as I can, what are your aspirations here?
Right. So looking forward, I mean, I'm at 650 cases. I think I would grow a little bit. I don't want to use all 80 acre production, but, up Valley, there's a winery that I love. I love the folks behind it, Garden Creek. So it's Karen and Justin Mornelius Miller. They are, a couple thousand cases, have a small winery, grape to bottle, really controlling their viticulture. I admire what they do. Yeah, that's kind of one model I've looked at.
Sure, and I'm glad you mentioned them because we did an interview with them last year. One of my favorite interviews, two of the nicest people I ever met.
Great,
and
cool.
Like you, they they sell their grapes.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they're also just grape growers. It's a really important part of the valley and the economy here.
Exactly.
And everyone in Alexander Valley has about three jobs.
Yeah, and that's kind of how it works, isn't it?
Yeah.
So for our listeners who want to learn a little bit about you or perhaps purchase your wine or go online with you, what is your website?
It's sutrowine.com, and I designed the whole website. And when you get onto our web page, it's a landing page that's a collage that I did. I have an art background. I'm proud of that.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Great. Alice, thank you very much for taking the time on this trip. And again, my compliments on a very beautiful piece of property and a really nice setup here.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for visiting.
Learn more by visiting SutroWineCompany.com.
Thanks for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Additional original music by Ray Pfister. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Our graphics and website specialist is Lawton Hall. Our web geek is Dan Gieschen. Photos by Jeanette Herniak and Catherine Shear. Copyright 2019.